The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here in Analyze This for hour number two. We had to call an audible. You know, we came up to the lane and we saw the defense, so we had to change the play. So we've got Mr. Emmanuel Rodriguez from the National Weather Service over there in San Juan. Buenos dias.
It's all right. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. That's Rodriguez with a Q or Rodriguez with a G?
With a G.
With a G. Okay. Rodriguez, like Ruben Rodriguez.
Yeah, it's a pretty common last name. Very, very common.
Very common, yeah. And growing up, I used to watch Ruben Rodriguez play basketball for they had a team named the Bayamón.
From Bayamón.
Yeah. So he played basketball for that. He was a great player from Puerto Rico. Great basketball player. I think they named a stadium after him over there in San Juan or Bayamón as well. So that's good. So how are you today? How are you this morning?
I'm good. It's a little bit chilly and wet here.
Yeah. That's why I called, because normally we speak every Monday, right, to start the week, and we got a preview. But this week, because we have a long weekend, because Monday's a holiday, we figured let me make contact with you guys to find out what to expect for this long weekend, because we got a holiday on Monday. It's overcast here in St. Croix right now. How is it in San Juan?
It's also overcast with some rain, passing showers moving across the area. And you know what? It's not just the holiday because of the President Day and Washington birthday on Monday, but it's also St. Valentine's this weekend, right?
That's right.
So it's going to be quite an important weekend for the people. Right now, for today, we actually have a patch of moisture moving across the islands, and I'm seeing the satellite and radar Doppler for the Fort St. Croix. You are going to receive some showers pretty soon, moving from those showers. The good news is that those showers are not creating a lot of accumulation, right? It's just more like wet roads, so be exercise caution when you're on the roads, but it's not like we're talking about flooding rains moving across the island for the rest of the day.
Okay, the marine conditions, what are we telling our boaters?
Right, so we do have windy conditions for this weekend, so we should expect choppy seas. It's going to be hazardous if you go away from the islands, but seas are going to be around 4 to 7 feet, so we are expecting actually a small craft advisory for the Anegada Passage that should go in effect through all the weekend, and extra caution for the waters near St. Croix. So the boaters should be aware of that, that it's going to be choppy, it's going to be windy. We're going to have winds around 20, 21 knots for the waters. Also, for the beaches, if people are planning to go to the beach as well, we're going to have a moderate rip current risk that's going to prevail all weekend long. So also exercise caution if you're going to the beach, right? We want to avoid all fatalities related to drowning in the waters. Especially during the long weekends.
Okay, so the waters are going to be choppy and windy.
It's going to be choppy, yeah, for the small boaters. So a lot of caution if you're going to use it. We are not expecting a swell event, but it's going to be windy due to a high pressure to the north of the area. So a lot of caution if you're going out this long weekend.
Okay, what about Culebra and Vieques?
For Culebra and Vieques, it's going to be a similar event, but it's going to be higher seas for the northern beaches of Culebra and also for the northern U.S. Virgin Islands, with seas up to 7 feet there. So we are expecting a small craft advisory to go in effect this weekend as well for those areas. So it's going to be even choppier since those beaches, especially to the north of Culebra, are more exposed. Seas tend to be higher in that particular area.
Okay, good. Now, St. Thomas and St. John, they're like 40 miles north of St. Croix. Is they're going to be similar to Culebra and Vieques?
Yeah, pretty much is the they share the same water forecast for Vieques, Culebra, and St. Thomas. Culebra, St. Thomas, and St. John share the same water forecast. So basically, whatever happens in Culebra, it usually also happens in St. Thomas, especially with the rip current forecast for the local beaches. So we are also expecting caution. The only difference I'm seeing for this weekend is that the beaches in the northern coast of St. Thomas and Culebra are going to be even more dangerous than the beaches in St. Croix because the high current risk is going to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going. We do not recommend people to go to those beaches this weekend.
Okay, so you don't recommend that. You tell us to relax and stay home and stay inside and be safe.
It will be better, yeah. At least in terms of rain, we are expecting a few showers this weekend, but it should be drier, especially on Sunday. So we are expecting more sunshine to come, a mix of sun and clouds, really, but more sunshine to come on Sunday since this patch of moisture is going to move across the area. Actually, later today, you should start to see some sunshine in the skies because this patch of moisture is going to move toward the west, leaving partly cloudy skies across the islands.
Okay, good. And what about, inland Puerto Rico? Because, you know, you got the mountain range in the middle of the island. How are they going to make out?
Yeah, here we have a orographic effect, right? It means like when we have the diurnal heat combined with the moisture, we do see the development of showers across the area inland in Puerto Rico. However, since it's so windy, these showers cannot accumulate a lot of rain. But, you know, we do have some vaccination events to COVID around the island. So people should expect to see some passing showers moving all day long across the area. But it's going to be better for the weekend as well. Some passing showers, yes, especially for the east in the morning hours. But for the rest of the day, it should be pleasant. Not too hot, actually. Temperatures should stay in the low to mid 80s, which is okay for our standards. And dropping to the 60s during the nighttime.
During the nighttime, okay. Yeah, well, it's starting to rain here. It's showery. We got some showery rain here on St. Croix right now, so we got to keep our eyes open for what we're dealing with. Looks like it's going to be a wet weekend.
Yeah, actually, it should improve, actually, for Sunday and Monday. We should see some more showers early today, but for the rest of the weekend, perhaps a few showers moving in, but other than that, we are not expecting a lot of rain for the weekend.
Okay, well. Thank you very much, Emmanuel Rodriguez de San Juan.
Sure. Have a good weekend and enjoy your Valentine's holiday.
Yeah, man. You too. Enjoy the Valentine's weekend and the President's Day on Monday. We appreciate the update and the weekend preview. Could be better, but we appreciate it anyway. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Have a nice weekend.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot. That's Emmanuel Rodriguez from over there in San Juan at the National Weather Service. And of course, you know, it's a little showery now, but he said the weather should get better this afternoon. But we can't see St. Thomas and St. John at all, not today. See that little shower there? One of my partner, them, he works at a mechanic shop across the street. Every run, at 9 o'clock every day, religiously, he take a walk up and go by the shop. You know what I mean? I just see he got to be walking kind of briskly this morning because he got that shower out there. So, you know, had a nice conversation there with Yihan Wang. You know, it's interesting, you know, how they come from the other side of the world. And you acclimate, you know what I'm saying? And she said that she was in the Amazon. And when you hear someone say they thought they were totally detached from civilization, you must imagine, you know, the kind of you know, impact that has on you emotionally, you know, and you really got to be disciplined and strong of mind to actually, you know, live out there in the jungle, you know, with no of the amenities that you're used to, you know, having access to. So that was good. And she also said Nepal, Indonesia, and of course here in the Virgin Islands and all that stuff. So, Miss Lake, kind of tied up right now. So we appreciate that. And I definitely want to make sure we send out Valentine's, you know, to all the ladies, you know what I'm saying, to all the ladies. And thank you very much for all the support. You know, what is this? Today's February 12th. 9.5 months. 9.5 months. Two engineers bothering me, man. You know what I'm saying? He's taking shots at me because I'm all mushy right about now. You know what I'm saying? So he's taking shots. But we'll complete 10 months, God willing, in 2 weeks from today on the 26th. And it seems like yesterday when we first started. And, you know, I'm glad that we've you know, evolved, and we do things, you know, as the show has grown, and you know, the daily updates with the COVID-19, just to keep people honest, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low, you know, we've experienced all aspects of it. Right now, we're going through some choppiness. I'm gonna use that word, some choppiness over there on the rock. You know, we've had, do the math here, 10, 15, and 13, 38 positives between Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that's what we had. So we got Kyle on the line. Good morning, Kyle. What's up?
Good morning, Never James.
Eddie Bruce. Okay, man.
How you doing?
I'm good. How's St. John?
St. John, raining beautiful, man. My garden looking good.
Well, you know something? I'm glad you brought that up, because earlier in the week, and I think the engineer could remember this, I was concerned about the dry weather and how we saw patches of brown, but that's not going to be the case in another couple of days. We're going to be luscious green after this rain.
Yeah, well, save some of it if you can. Get you one of the big 800-gallon tank on the side of your cistern and catch an extra water for the agriculture.
Yo, let me ask you this question. Is there anything better than rainwater?
No, I don't think so.
You thought about it, but you can't. It's so pure. Once you catch it in that drum and you're watching it, it's pure. No, I was teasing you on the show either Tuesday or Wednesday. Because you and I were talking the day before, and you got a Yankee tour, and you come from up in Minnesota, right? Up in that area?
St. Paul,
the Twin Cities. You went from one Twin City, and you're living in Love City. You're living in the Twin City, the Virgin Islands. You live in Love City. And you learn a word, or did you learn this word in the States? Gallivanting.
Down here.
You learn it in the Virgin Islands, right? Gallivanting, right? You never heard the word gallivanting up in Minnesota before you came to the Virgin Islands.
Not in that context. Now, also, you know, somebody be seeking, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. But listen.
Yeah, go ahead.
In reference to your most recent visitor, I know you're into language and learning language.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You hear how good her English is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now our students should be able to do that in Chinese. I'm gonna tell you something. Chinese looks difficult. It sounds difficult, but the grammar of it is old world, so it's very easy. You don't have to do all those verb endings like Spanish and French. Now, I worked in China for 28 months, teaching English in day and studying Chinese at night.
Mandarin?
I started studying Chinese in 1970 when my first son was born. My wife was pregnant. I said, I was in college. I couldn't be studying four different subjects. So I took Chinese for the whole year, 24 credits.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's wonderful that you're here. You say she's with the RT Park?
Yeah, she's with the RT Park, but she's actually a economic development, agriculture, and energy consultant. So she has a broad portfolio, and the RT Park, you know. Right now, our RT Park is more of a program than it is a park. You know, we're still developing it. Typical RT Parks, you know, they are connected with universities like ours is, but there's like a community involvement where it spreads into, you know, different aspects of the community, job creation and all that stuff. And we're still, you know, even though we passed that legislation, well, I wasn't a part of the legislature at the time in 2002, we're still in our infancy. You know, we're not like Raleigh-Durham or Stanford or University of Texas. But we're not going to be like that because we just don't have the volume and the mass. You'll check, but the programs we're dealing with and with the Tech Village Project, you know, the Yihan Wangs of the world are very, very important. And you're absolutely right. Her English, for someone who moved from China 10 years ago, or was it 10 years ago? No, 8 years ago. That's what she said, right? 8 years? Because she went to George Mason. Her English is very, very good. You're absolutely correct. And I got a friend of mine. What we're going to do is take a break. Don't hang up. Take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine who actually went to China to learn Mandarin and teach and become a Chinese language teacher. So hold on there 1 second. We'll be back right after this. Got Eddie Bruce on hold.
I'm back right here. I'm here.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
There's a new live jazz experience on public radio. Jazz Night in America. Exclusive concerts from around the country, conversations with artists, and video webcasts that give you the backstage pass. I'm Christian McBride. Join me right here on this station for Jazz Night in America.
Jazz Night in America, Fridays at 9 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, it's Maria, Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA. You have so much information at your fingertips. Don't you sometimes feel overwhelmed by it all? Here at Latino USA, we know that your time is valuable, which is why our team prides itself on producing original stories that you won't hear anywhere else. Check us out and share us with your friends and family. Thanks for listening.
Latino USA, Saturdays at 6 a.m. and again at 4 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here and analyze this, and got my friend Eddie Bruce from over there in St. John. Yeah, we got, when I was a senator, we had a young lady who was working down there. Her name was Andrea Schillingford.
And, uh-huh.
She actually spent a year, I believe, over there in China learning the language. So I believe you when you say it is learnable.
And we had Miss Soto from St. Croix.
That's her. There. That's her.
Okay, because my daughter, one of her college and friends over in St. Croix, I actually spoke to Ms. Soto a couple of times before she went, and I told her a couple of things that she would help her along once she get over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her. That's the lady I'm talking about, Andrea Soto. Schillingford is a married name. Yeah.
Okay, Schillingford. Yeah, I figured she must have got married. But you know, Ms. Wong that you just had.
Yihan Wong. Yeah.
Okay. No. Okay. There's so many ways to go from here with this conversation, but her name is spelled W-A-N-G, right?
W-A-N-G, correct.
Okay. Unfortunately, in America, they say Wang.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do that American A.
Yeah.
And I think it's a travesty, like people like Michael Chang, the tennis player.
Yeah, Michael Chang. Yeah.
Yeah, but they should be saying
Chang. Yeah, correct. Okay. Correct.
And I tell you what, you remember the golfer from Spain named Olazabal?
Yeah, with the Z in it, but they don't pronounce the Z. They pronounce it with a T. Yeah.
T-H.
Yeah. Yeah.
So see, if they can be so discriminating to do that, they need to go to full scope and call the Chinese people by their right name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But that's kind of a small thing. But when I hear people are on the WTJX, like the people from Boston University, Elsa Chang, you know, they're not saying it right.
Mm-hmm.
They need to say it right.
Well, anyway, you know, you pick up bad habits, and then the next thing you know, you start incorporating these bad habits in everything you do, and that's probably what happened.
Right, I know it is, but I've been thinking about you since last week. I just want to mention two things to you. Sensoric Power.
Sensoric Power out of the west, out of Frederickstead. Yeah.
Texaco gas station.
Yeah.
Okay, his daughter, Agatha Powell Jarvis, and my wife been best friends since junior high school because Rick, as they call it, went to New York.
Yeah.
His daughter.
Yeah.
My wife's best friend when she was 10, she and my wife met in junior high school, and that's how we come to be down here. We came back to visit her.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so my connection here with my wife go back to the 50s. And I come here in 74.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, now, so I wanted to get across to Rick Pop. And you know his nephew, the bass player, Fred Williams.
Yeah, man.
Okay. I had Fred Williams come over here to St. John to play with Eddie Russell.
Yeah, man.
Ruben LaMotta.
Those are great, great musicians, great Virgin Islands musicians, man. Eddie Russell and Freddie Williams. His father was a tremendous jazz player, Ohaldo Williams. Yeah.
Well, and Rick, Mr. Powell, he actually played bass. And when he went to New York, he was a refrigeration and auto mechanic. And that's what Fred grew up learning under his uncle.
I didn't know that.
And auto mechanic.
I talked
to Fred about a month ago because he Agatha's cousin. And I like to call up people. I ain't talked to Eddie Russell for years. But Eddie was over here for a while, and we did some playing together. But you know, it's a small world like that.
But you know Jamila, right? You know Jamila Russell.
Eddie's daughter.
That's Eddie's daughter. Yeah.
And then he got
another daughter, Makita. She works with us here at Channel 12 when we do all the local programming for election and state of the territory. Makita's production manager there. And you got another daughter named Diane Russell. She's a lawyer, but she also plays the flute. She's a flautist.
I heard about her. Also, surprised me, year before last, Eddie Russell was the Farmer of the Year.
Oh, yeah?
He do livestock, doesn't he?
I got to look into that.
I'm telling you.
I believe you.
I've been listening more than you. I the question I've been wanting to put to you since I know you're interested in.
But you know he's a master trumpeter as well.
He did that over here. Didn't he?
That's right. Yeah,
he did over here.
He plays multiple instruments, but he's awesome on the trumpet.
Oh, I know. So here's my question to you, and I just formulated this question some years ago. It ain't a perfect question, but since you're interested in history, what's the mother of history? What dictates the most to historical development?
What dictates the most for historical development?
Yeah.
You tell me, man.
Geography. Because geography determines everything.
Correct.
You know where the battles are fought, where the water is.
At the end
of every great river is a large city because all the products come downstream.
America is a perfect example of that. Every
river.
Densely, right?
Yeah.
Densely populated city is located next to some water, whether it be on the coast or inland.
Mostly at the end of the river.
Yeah.
Because in the old days, the river was the main mode of traffic. Transportation.
Correct.
Everything comes down. The Niger River, the Nile River.
Yeah.
And with the Shanghai.
How many great cities are connected to the Mississippi River?
Oh, geez. St. Louis for one.
St. Louis,
for one.
And at the bottom of it is New Orleans.
New Orleans, that's right. That's where my grandfather's from. I haven't been there yet, but he had to get out of there because of the racism.
Yeah.
He wound up in Minnesota with me.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, Shanghai and Beijing. I remember, talk about development. The first time I went from Shanghai to Beijing in 2005, it took something like 11 hours by train.
11 hours by train?
Yeah, and 5 years later, after they installed the new speed train, it took 4 hours to go 1,000 miles.
Wow.
Them thing going 250 miles an
hour. 250 miles an hour, yeah. Wow.
Right.
In a train, you know.
In a train.
Wow.
But from Shanghai proper, the city proper, out to the Shanghai airport is 50 miles. If you take a bus, it takes a half hour. If you take the, what they call, magnetic levitation train, it takes 25 minutes.
Mm-mm.
To go 50, no, 5 minutes to go 50 miles.
5 minutes, Well, let me see. No, if you're going 250 miles an hour.
No, that one approaches 400 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
The mag left.
A train going 400 miles an hour?
Magnetic levitation. Listen, they don't ever get up to 400 miles an hour because when they get halfway there, they gotta start slowing down.
Yeah. That's logic. Yeah, that's logic.
Okay.
Here's
another important thing. Most of the cities I've been in China, the grid of the avenues and the streets. The avenues go north and south. The streets go east and west. Shanghai departed drastically from that because that's the only place where they would let the foreign merchants set up their trade. And it was muddy. And you go to Shanghai, the streets circle all around each other like a can of worms.
Wow.
Okay, because the foreigners set up, the Chinese didn't dictate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you got to figure they're carrying thing on those two wheels and a man pulling it.
Yeah.
Them cart. And the mud flats was, you ought to go there if you haven't been there.
No, well, by the way, I just got a text message. One of my listeners said that Eddie Russell, he does his goats by Haypenny. So you're right.
Right.
Yeah, he does it. I don't by Haypenny. Yeah. So,
yeah.
See, I learn, I minding my business so much and thing going on. I mean, even though. So I'm glad a man from St. John had to tell me about what a man in St. Croix doing. And then I got confirmation from one of my people I'm here on St. Croix. So that's a good thing.
Now, you know, in the old days, Coral Bay was town. I mean, was town, and Cruise Bay was country until the 1924 hurricane.
So Coral Bay was town, and Cruise Bay was country. The reverse of what it is now.
Right, because it was easier after the 24 hurricane. It was easier to ship building supplies from Red Hook to Cruise Bay than to Coral Bay.
Okay.
Now, I think it was Guy Benjamin.
Another man, hold on there. Another man just said,
Go ahead.
Eddie raises goat on a farm near Haypenny Beach. He was Livestock Farmer of the Year, Agriculture Fair 2020.
Thank you.
What? Eddie Bruce, enlightening, man. I like this, yeah. That's why I thought I came out.
I'm listening to
you. So you're saying Guy Benjamin. I know Guy Benjamin school there out in Coral Bay. So what?
Right.
So what's the connection there?
They closed it down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but Guy Benjamin told me that he attended a baptism early in the 1900s, and there was a Bruce person from St. Croix that was there at a baptism in Coral Bay.
Yeah.
Because the straight line is a straight line.
Once we got a man out in Fredericksburg named Joseph Bruce. That's Don Bruce's father. Wayne Bruce and all them and so that was a popular name down in the West.
Okay, I got my father had an uncle named Joseph Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an uncle named Melvin Joseph Bruce from around Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let me tell you something, right?
Yeah.
Back in 2013, I went to the Kentucky Derby, right?
Okay.
And I like to drive. So this trip, right, I flew to New York and I drove from New York to Louisville, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the longest part of the drive is navigating the state of Pennsylvania, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was like a 5.5-6 hour drive from New York,
yeah.
Right? From really Newark, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like 45 minutes from Newark to Eastern Pennsylvania, right?
Oh, okay.
You come across the state of Jersey, and then it's a 5 hour drive. 5.5 hour drive from Eastern, like Allentown and Bethlehem over there.
Right.
And you're heading west to Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
And I went I drove the Pennsylvania Turnpike all the way to Pittsburgh. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful city.
Oh, yeah. To Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, I'm telling you. I mean, of course, you know, every part of every city has its areas where you don't want to be and all that stuff.
Right.
But the Three Rivers, remember now?
Yep.
I'm a sports junkie, right? So growing up, I'm watching baseball, and the stadium in Pittsburgh was Three Rivers Stadium, where they play baseball and football, right?
That's right.
And the Three Rivers, it's the confluence of the Allegheny, the Ohio, and the Monongahela River, right?
Monongahela. Yeah.
And the three of them there, and I drove through the tunnel, and I came out.
Whoa.
That is a beautiful city, I'm telling you.
Well, let me tell you something about that, please. When I hear people talk about overpopulation in the United States, they have never driven from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh or from Pittsburgh to Chicago. Or you know, because you see Green Mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about overpopulation, that's a misnomer. That is a definite misnomer. I mean, if you drove, you were driving at night or in the day?
That was a daytime drive. That was like I left at like 8, got there like 1:30. in the afternoon.
Okay, well, you see how much green is out there? You see the sparse population between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So the same thing between Pittsburgh and Chicago. Man, you got soybeans, you got corn, all that stuff growing. You go from Madison, Wisconsin, down to Springfield, Illinois, it got soybean on one side and corn on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear people talk about overpopulation in America, they haven't been anywhere. and they're giving the people wrong information. Okay?
Well, all I know is when I did that, and you know, I knocked out that first 6 hours, and then I took a break, and then I drove another 4 hours to Cincinnati.
Right.
Because I got a friend of mine who lives right across the river in northern Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And then I worked my way down to Louisville the following morning. But
that was a good trip.
Yeah, man. And I did it. I've done it twice since then. I liked it so much. I've done it twice since then. Yeah, man. It's nice, man. It's nice. You know, you get out there. Of course, driving ain't a problem as much as it was back in the day because you got a cell phone now, so you could communicate with people on the way. You know what I'm saying? So
That's right.
But that I like to get out and about. You know what I mean? But you know, it's all good. It's all good. You know.
Yeah.
You know. You kind of work with my cobwebs here with the letting me know how the importance of geography and how it impacts everything else and all that stuff. And you know, people teasing me. I'm a phone now telling me that I'm losing my touch and all that stuff. But it's okay. It's okay.
No, you ain't doing your touch. It's still.
I'm not necessarily a morning person, but I'm a morning person right. for Analyze This. That's the most important.
Right. Well, let me tell you one more thing about China. First time I went to China was from JFK. It was $1,200, and it was about 12 hours. And I got up in the aisle, exercised, and went to sleep, read a book for a while. But after I went there, because I went there 7 years in a row, the third time I went, I chill out. I watch movies. You watch four full-length movies, and you reach from Newark to Shanghai. And I didn't go to sleep. I left at 8 o'clock in the morning, Newark time, landed in Shanghai at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, went to my hotel, went out to 8, and went to sleep. And I didn't feel no thing in my knees or anything like that. Just watched four full-length movies, and the flight done. 12 hours. Oh, and it was
$1,200. That's from JFK to Beijing or Shanghai?
Shanghai.
Oh, okay.
But it's the same time. I never flew into Beijing because I had a tutor in Shanghai, and I would stay 2 weeks with my tutor to get my ears and my lips together.
Mm-hmm.
To language. Because like I said, I've been studying Chinese since 1970.
Wow.
Okay. Now 1988. Where was you in 1988?
I had graduated from college, from University of Miami in 87, and I was home here detoxing in 88, and then I started working in 89.
Okay,
I was 24 years old in 88.
Yeah. Okay, did you hear of Sam Boyne, who opened up a hotel up above Charlotte and Maui?
Sam Boyne. No.
He related to the Boynes over at St. Croix.
Yeah. We got Isaac Boynes. Ballpark over here in Grove. And Boynes is a big name in St. John, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They done the thing. And you know, they're from Haiti.
Oh, really?
Sam Boynes found that out because he knew that name was, he didn't know it was French or anything, but Vito Val from Vieques,
mm-hmm.
worked for the National Park here, told Sam that the Boynes name is from Haiti. So Sam went to Haiti and found out where the Boynes people was from France. And went over there and found that they come from a place called Boynesville. Their colonial head, you know, was a Boynes. That's been a Boynes for the last 200 years.
Well, I just pulled it up now. It got hot springs in Haiti named the old Boynes. So you're right.
Boynes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on there 1 second. And you say, hold on there. You take a break right now and come back.
Go ahead.
I like this conversation, Yaka.
Hey.
I learned a lot here from Eddie Bruce here on this Friday, man. We'll be back right after this here on Analyze This.
Now more than ever, employee safety and health is essential. As the owner or manager of an organization or business, how do you keep your workplace safe and employees healthy? Help is available. UVI Safety in Paradise program provides free occupational safety and health audits of workplace hazards and programs. You'll get a free assessment, guidance, and training to help you protect your workers and reduce costs due to accidents and illness. Always confidential, always free. For details, visit safety.uvi.edu.
Hours ago, halfway around the world, the day has already begun.
Tens of thousands of people in Venezuela.
Britain is leaving the European Union.
Everyone was just running. People were crying. They were in tears. And we didn't know what was happening. Police kept telling us to move back, move back.
The thousands of protesters marched along a route.
When you need to know where the world went while you weren't looking. Morning Edition. Listen every morning.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 6 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On Point represents democracy in action every day with the sharpest guests and the sharpest listener calls. Our audiences often know as much as we do, connecting us in ways you won't find anywhere else. I'm David Folkenflik. Hear what you don't always see. Join Meghna Chakrabarty and me for the next On Point.
On Point weekdays at 11 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back and we're getting late by Eddie Bruce. Eddie Bruce, you got me people them teasing me, right? One of my people them sent me a text and said, Doc, you're losing your touch, right? And that's because you called me from St. John to tell me about Eddie Russell and St. Croix, you know what I mean? So but sometimes it's like that, you know what I mean? The thing is it's like a block. It's like a mind block where I know Eddie to be a musician. You know what I mean? Me know Eddie to be a farmer, check. But everybody got loves, you know, personal love, you know what I mean? So that's a good thing. Check. Yeah, so like I was telling you, I make that trip. I did it in 2013. Then I did it again in October of 2018. And then I did it again in April of 2019. I haven't been out of the territory since October 2019 or COVID and all that stuff. I just tried to mind my business and all that stuff, you know what I mean? Moving around on the mainland. So I was watching a documentary. Right? Reggie Jackson, right? Remember he hit 3 home runs in a World Series game, right? Game six, when the Yankees beat the Dodgers in 77. So he was talking about it. He said all he was thinking about that night was, you know, when it was over, was I'm heading back to California tomorrow morning.
Wow.
And he said he drove from New York to Oakland. Right? Whoa. Stop off in Missouri and all that stuff. So that must be a heck of a drive, driving from the East Coast to the West Coast, 3,000 miles like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it had to be a beautiful trip.
Yeah, man. I drove one time from L.A. to Phoenix. And, I mean, on I-10, you know, the 10 that starts in Jacksonville. Yeah. It starts in Jacksonville and it actually ends in L.A., depending on which way you go. And that's a beautiful part of the world, man. Beautiful
part.
Out in the dry mountains. You know what I'm saying? It's nice. Yes, it's nice out there. Yeah.
When you mentioned 77, the night Reggie hit them 3 home runs, I had a couple of weeks before I just got back from Africa and I had to go to the hospital with 105-degree fever. So I remember that night.
I've heard about the impact on your body when you travel from the Caribbean and head down to Africa. If you ain't medicinally prepared to deal with that, you could be in some trouble.
Well, I had all the shots, and I got bit. I was taking a canoe trip to Timbuktu, and that's when it came on me. But anyway, let me go back to 88. The reason I mentioned 88, you know Dr. Harrigan, the UVI over here, now you hear against Vincent Cooper?
Yeah.
Okay. And here's where Sam Boyens come in. At the time, 1988, 7 of the world's richest banks were in Japan because they were at their peak, 88.
Yes, 88 to 90, 88 to like 91. They were considered, if not the, one of the richest countries in the world at that particular time.
That's right. If you came out of the subway on Broadway and 42nd Street, you saw Orientals wearing black or blue suits and black hair because you know they're homogeneous. It looked like you was in another country.
But, yeah.
But Sam Borns was pushing UVI to study Japanese.
Okay.
You know Solomon Kabuka? You ever heard that name? Small business.
Yeah.
Okay. And Gilbert Sproul.
Uh-huh.
They had me come down to their youth preparation program and teach in Chinese. And I was trying to get UVI to go Chinese. Because ain't nobody speaking Japanese over here anymore unless they're Japanese. But China was on the way up. And due to a function of population, Japan plateaued out after 88, 91, mm-hmm. as you say.
Mm-hmm.
They plateaued out. China's still on the rise. As a function of population, if Japan peaked out after World War II, because they started all them Zomax and cheap tools they used to break on you, that's how Japan started out after World War II, making cheap tools.
They took the brunt of two atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know.
Yeah, but MacArthur and them generals went in and converted all of the war industry to turn out TVs and radios and stuff, right? That's where
Sony yeah. and what's the next one?
I can't remember. Sony,
yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Panasonic,
and all that. Correct.
Okay, but
Matsushita. The Matsushita family got that Panasonic. They set up all those plants in San Clemente, California, for Panasonic and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Toshiba,
all of them. Yeah. But I know of Hiro Matsushita, and that Panasonic connection there as well. So
I was trying to get UVI to focus more on China because I knew China was on the rise, and they figured to go with the Japanese because it was concurrent and they could get a play out of it. But it was short term play. Now they ain't teaching Chinese down there yet. Okay.
You know that China got a lot of influence in the Caribbean, but can't come to the Virgin Islands so easy. We have another one.
Yeah, you know
Japan. Japan could come in for dog sauce, but China ain't coming so easy.
But China can be heavy-handed too.
Can be heavy-handed. That's what they're about.
Well, yeah. You know, and they're very subtle about it too. But you know, the thing about it is, if you go to China to do business, you ain't going to do business on day 1, 2, 3, 4 or 5. You probably got to go out to lunch and dinner with whoever you're trying to impress, because they're going to check you and see what kind of person you are. They're going to see how you eat.
Yeah.
They're going to see what you eat and how you speak to them at the table.
My engineer there telling me the only time they're ready to cut that deal is after the instant, right before you're ready to leave China is when they're going to talk business.
That's right.
They're watching customs for the first 5-6 days, and then on day 7 we go talk business.
They want to see how you walk.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
okay,
man. Yeah,
so,
man. Yeah,
like that's... I said, I went there 7 years in a row from 2005 to 2011. I went 4 months each time.
Wow.
I taught in Hebei, which is surrounds Beijing, and that's above Henan, where Ms. Wang is from. But I teach English in a day and study Chinese in a night.
That's,
and I'm going to tell you.
That's never, awesome, man.
I had to tell many of my friends I was treated better in China than I did ever in America.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Wow.
Okay, listen, that's about enough, you know.
No, we're good. I like the conversation today.
Thanks for the time.
And no, thank you for making yourself available and enlightening the audience, because I'm getting text messages because of you. You know what I'm saying? So you're hitting home. Thanks a lot, Eddie. Enjoy the weekend, man.
Yeah, you got to learn some Chinese. We'll talk later, man.
Eventually, for sure, yeah.
Take care, brother. Thank you.
All right, take care, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Eddie Bruce over there in St. John. And he originally from Minnesota. And, of course, you know, we have a, and St. Croix, you know, we're Twin City Island. and he's from St. Paul. And that's a Twin City as well. You know, the Minnesota Twins, Minneapolis, and St. Paul. And that's why you hear them say the Minnesota Twins, Twin City as well. I don't know if it's as much a Twin City as Christian said and Frederick said, because our cities are so twin-like that, so Siamese. I think that's the right word to use. We're so Siamese, right? That outside a company street in Christiansted, every other street that exists in Christiansted exists in Frederickston. And with the same Strand, King, Queen type of thing. The only one the difference is we got Company Street that takes you from the Steeple Building to the Alexander Market Square, right? But aside from that, the same exact setup. Queen, Hill, then coming down. Hill, Queen, King, and then Strand. You're checking, they got West Street, East Street, Fisher Street, Prince Street. You know, that to me is awesome, of course. And then I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in talking to, I forget who it was I was speaking to at that particular time, but probably Ronnie Russell, is that, or Rocky, is that we are more considered more Danish West Indies here on St. Croix. Yet, the street names in St. Thomas, right? They got the Danish names. They got the goddess, you know, the Kangens and Crown Prince then and all that stuff. We done with that goddess thing over here on St. Croix. You check our thing is street. And that's just how it is. Great conversation with my man Eddie Bruce over there. You know, his name from now on is Galavantin. And I said, oh, yeah. I get these text messages here. Morning, Lorna. Go to here. So yesterday, right, let me get out a joke, right? I got a joke now. Kind of said, make sure to say this joke when you're ready to leave. Because if you mention this joke early in the show, people going to call and cuss, right? Yesterday, the discussion I had with Doug Skoll was about cricket, right? And he mentioned that the first Leeward Islands member of the West Indies cricket team was from Nevis, my name El Comido Willett. So, and I was talking last night with somebody, and he said, I got a joke for you, but don't mention it on your show. I said, well, I have to. If it's a fact, then I'm going to mention it. He said, don't mention it. I said, why? He said, listen carefully. Nevis has had 7 members, or let me rephrase it. 7 Nevisians have been members of the West Indies cricket team. There have been 0 Kitishan to be on the West Indies team in the history of the West Indies. I said, you got to be kidding me. Because, you know, St. Kitts and Nevis, they like to be pulling and tugging. And Nevis one time said, we want to secede and all them things. And the Kitishans will tell the Nevisian them, secede to go where? Eh? We're going, right? But if it's one thing they have over the Kitishan them, right, is that they have had Nevisians who have made the West Indies cricket team and never had a Kitishan. So I said, well, I going to tease all of my Kitishan friend them. No. Yes, that's a fact, right? So Nelan Bowery and Lanval Crook and Shadow Gums and them. I said, well, I don't like to tease we all. It's even Positive Nelson, my boy, he come from Saddlers, right? I said, I don't go on talking this talk about seeing kids. This and St. Kitts, that Nevis, this and Nevis got 7 members and the West Indies even iron gun on yet. Your engineers say we don't take them as our own. Yeah. No, keep in mind, right? It had a dude named Rocky. He used to walk to the gas station here by One Love in Golden Rock. And we ask him where he come from. He said, I come from the Federation. Right? And of course, you know the Federation is St. Kitts Nevis. You check? So we just say, take them as our own. In that case, right, the 7 Nevisians who have met the West Indies cricket team, it's St. Kitts Nevis. Any business, it can't even check. So I go tease. I said, man, all attack. I don't got teasing people. All the scholars I got come from Sandy Point, like where Nalan come from, and Ira Mills and all them and so. Man, I can't get at least one so far who born and seen kids to be on the West Indies cricket team. And got Doug School styling off and Doug School come from Jinjala, no. I don't do all I homework really. Yeah, Roosevelt come from Cotton Grung. All Io. So check. I don't pull Io file already. So I just wanted to tease Io a little bit. No, I know when the show done. By the way, Sean Williams, right? He worked for WTJX. He had me on the phone yesterday. We were talking a lot about that as well. And it's interesting that Lionel Roberts Stadium in St. Thomas is known primarily for baseball. But Lionel Roberts, you are 100% correct. Doug School yesterday, people say, yeah, man, Lionel Roberts is a tremendous cricketer. Tremendous. And I know of the DC candidate as well. Cricketer as well. Cricket is our thing, you know. And baseball came after they purchased us in 17 and all that stuff. But that was a great conversation we had yesterday. And at the end of the day, you know what it boils down to? Here in the Caribbean, we're all one people. With all due respect, when the boaters, we had a lady who was here for like 2 or 3 months and she sent an email to Tanya Singh and she listens to the show and all that stuff and they like the local programming. And I know we try to sound American and all that stuff, but people like the local programming. They like our accent. It makes us unique. They like the way we communicate, you know, how we take in the English and create our own dialect. You know, being unique, you know, and it's all good. You know, whatever you do, don't ever run from your culture. Do not. Okay, because culture has value. And of course, you know, we like to tease Senator Marian Jackson, calling the culture senator. But he's right. You know, learn to love who you are, what you're about, and all that stuff. Got value. And we got to continue to promote that here. So, yeah, great weekend coming up, you know, Valentine's Day, Sunday. So enough love to all of the ladies, you know, here. To all the ladies. And, of course, my first Valentine, mommy, happy Valentine's. I said that publicly today and all that stuff. And, you know, all the ladies, you know, Sunday's for Ayo, okay? Monday, too, and Tuesday, too. Don't believe it, stop after Monday. And then, of course, you know, Monday's President's Day. Yeah, we got to be careful. We got a big storm working its way through the plains areas, Oakland, down there in Texas and Arkansas and Louisiana. Be careful. Okay? And be careful as well. So, hope you enjoy today's show. Yihan Wang, thank you very much. Clearly, you inspire Eddie Brewster, Carlin. And Eddie, you got a good conversation today. And, of course, we'll catch up with Miss Lake at some point. It's all good, you know. People busy. You know, when they're busy and they're handling their business, you go respect that. So we good in that regard. Okay? Until whenever, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday, we know yet. If I know sometime, maybe this afternoon, I'll let you know. Please enjoy the weekend and be safe. St. Thomas, social distance. Same thing for St. Croix and St. John. Okay? Be good, be safe. Enjoy the weekend. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.